waiting, and I'm going to try to be good because I really feel like shouting already. This 3 o'clock crowd is a little rowdy, y'all. That's what I'm talking about. Do me a favor, just high five three people around you. Tell them this one's for you, this one's for you, this one's for you. Shout out to Hillsong London and all of the people of God that are here, who were here for conference. Shout out to the skinniest jeans that I own. I got on my Hillsong jeans. This is as good as I can get, y'all, because, you know, I tried to put these jeans on this morning and I got to the last button and the whole thing was like, nah, this is a bad idea, but I was able to make it in. Amen. That's why I could hit them soprano notes. Oh, praise the name. So, for those who don't know me, I love to laugh and enjoy the presence of the Lord. I believe church should be enjoyed and not endured. So let's have a good time in here. I am a black preacher from America. So feel free to shout me down. You can say whatever. You better preach. I know that's right. Say that. And do all that. Woo. Do me a favor and go to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew 26. Starting at the 36th verse. Again, I'm very grateful for the opportunity to share the word of God. I don't take it lightly. I'm grateful for the culture, the leadership of Hillsong, Pastor Gary, to you and your beautiful wife. Thank you for all that you guys have done here in the UK. I was told in Bermondsey that I'm an Arsenal fan. I don't know if that's not true. Man City, Man U. I don't know. I was asking. I don't know. Do I look like I play soccer? Liverpool? All right. I don't want to get in any more trouble. Let's just get to the word. We can agree that Jesus is Lord. Let's just stay there. So there's this scripture in Matthew 26. And it is at the critical moment of Jesus' life that we encounter him in this place. He is with his disciples, and he is sharing from his heart, and he's sharing from the deepest place of human emotion. And I believe it is in this place where we see a picture of Jesus that we have not necessarily projected and magnified the way we have projected and magnified other areas of Jesus' character. But I believe this story is so critical and essential to our understanding of Jesus the man, which solidifies my desire to worship him even more when I see him in moments like this. In Matthew 26:36, Jesus is at the defining moment of his earthly ministry. He is about to be betrayed into the hands of sinners, and he is about to die for my sins. Now, I say my sins and not our sins because I don't want to be presumptuous to speak on your behalf or to shout on your behalf or to lift my hands on your behalf, because even though he died for everyone, he also died for me individually, and that's why I sing, that's why I praise, that's why I shout. But you have to have a personal encounter with Jesus in order for this thing to mean something to you on the inside. Now, if there's some other people who know that Jesus died for them, can you join me and can we worship him together? As I prepare to read from Matthew 26:36, and I'm reading from the New King James Version, I don't want to travel another step further without giving honor to my wife of 4.5 years who has traveled with me. She is the mother of both of my children, my son and my daughter, who are 11 months apart. to my beautiful wife, Aventer, who has come with me to be here all week. Honey, I love and give honor to you. Thank you for all that you do so that I can be who God has called me to be. Can you just stand so you can wave? That's my wife, Aventer Gray, ladies and gentlemen. Yes. You better work the skirt, girl. Work the skirt. Ha ha. Daddy is home. Amen. Jesus is praying in a garden. The 36th verse. Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to the disciples, "Sit here while I go and pray over there." And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. Then he said to them, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me." He went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." Drawing your attention to the last verse where Jesus says, "Oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done." And what I want to share a thought on is from the subject, a worthy walk. A worthy walk. Here on the surface of this story, it doesn't look like a whole lot is going on, but Jesus talking to his disciples and praying. He was always talking to his disciples and praying. Always praying or talking to his disciples. Or healing, talking to his disciples. Praying, praying all night, getting up early. Disciples, healing. Devil, come out of there. Lazarus, get up. Ma'am, with the issue of blood, you're healed. Little girl, you're not dead anymore. Wake up. What are you talking about? Hey, you, can you hear me now? Open up those ears. Where are you at? You can't see? My Shadama. Well, now you can. I see you. And it's like a total concert. People were getting out of the ground like a Thriller video. His name is Jesus. Jesus Christ. Ooh. Joseph Prince told me to do that. But in this moment, this was no regular conversation. Jesus was always walking somewhere, but this walk was different. Jesus, at this moment, was in Gethsemane, and the word Gethsemane translates oil press, place of pressing. It is the place where God removes anything that's not like him, and the only thing that remains is the pure oil of the Holy Spirit, the pure oil of your process. And many of us try to escape Gethsemane, but you cannot escape the process of development. Many of us want platforms, but don't want process. I'm sure there are people who say, "I could sing like that, and I could do offering like that. And I bet you if they gave me a scripture, I could preach like that." And I'm sure you could in your human effort, but human effort is not what God is elevating in this season. He is elevating hearts in this season, and God will elevate those who have walked through the process. Because we have too many people. I'm scared of you. He's like, "Preach! I'm trying. Don't..." Somebody give him some candy or tea or something. Many of us. Do you guys microwave food here? Let me see anybody's ever microwaved food. If you've ever tried to microwave food, have you ever maybe put a pizza in a microwave and when you took it out, the crust was burning hot, but the middle was still cold? We got a lot of microwave Christians today. They look good on the surface, but if they go through a little bit of trouble, you'll find out that they're not all the way done on the inside. God is not microwaving leaders today. He's oven baking leaders. This is a season where God is not removing people from the process of development because there are too many people who need to dine on your experiences in order for them to trust the God that you say you serve. Oh, taste and see that the Lord, he is good. And how can people taste and see if we ourselves have not been prepared to be an offering in the hands and feet of Jesus to a lost and dying generation? God is looking for someone who will walk the process out. Jesus says to his disciples, sit here while I go and pray over there. He leaves eight disciples standing at the edge of the garden. He takes with him three, Peter, James, and John, comes to the middle of the garden and says to them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to the point of death. Stay here, hang out with me, spend time with me, hold me down, homie, holler at your boy, stay with me. And then he travels a little further by himself. Please note the pattern that Jesus illustrates for us: the outer court, the inner court, and the Holy of Holies. There are some people in your life that you need to ask the Lord, where do they need to be? And as you continue to grow and develop in the things of God, it is important that people are in their right positions so that you can be successful in this next season of your life. There are some people who need to remain in the outer court. They're nice people, but they cannot go to the next level. So don't force people who don't have capacity to travel with you to the next destination. Jesus took Peter, James, and John, and he shares with them this deep place of human emotion. And he says to them, I'm so sad, I'm so heavy, I'm so in agony right now that I could die right here. Please note that this is the most vulnerable that we've seen Jesus in his human ministry. And it's important for us to embrace this moment. Let us not rush past this scripture. For Jesus, who we rightfully worship as the King on the cross. But I need you to understand that in this moment we see his humanity. It should give us hope that even Jesus himself agonized over what the Father was asking him to do. So do not believe the lie that somehow you're in sin because there's something God asked for and it's hard for you to let it go. Because even Jesus himself said, I'm struggling with this one right here. Jesus was fully God and fully man. He was 200%. And in this moment, the humanity of Jesus came to the forefront and he said, Father, if it be your will, let this cup pass. American translation, I don't want to do this. Are there any people in here honest to say that there have been times that God has asked you for something and you said, I'd rather, why don't you choose somebody else? It'd be nice if you just didn't mess with me right now. But Jesus had to walk this out. He was the only one worthy to walk it out. 33 years that he lived, all of them sinless. Each move, a calculated step to bring him closer to embracing an untimely and early death. Every single day of his ministry, he knew where it was leading, but these were the final steps of obedience. A worthy life lived for those of us who would not have been worthy without him. A worthy king who died an unworthy death, which is why he's worthy of my praise. He walked in this garden, and that walk was the distance between religion and relationship. It was the distance between the Old Testament and the New Testament, between eternal condemnation and eternal salvation. As he took these final steps and he laid down his will, in this moment we see the king that we celebrate and we lift him up. But the cross would have had no power if he had not lived a life worthy of it. Let me help you to understand. The cross was for our salvation. His life was for our development. Jesus did not die and live to show us up. He lived to show us how. And so 33 years, 30 years of preparation for 3 years of public ministry, for 3 hours of purpose. For from the sixth hour until the ninth hour, Jesus hung on the cross, and the sins of the entire world were heaped upon him. For Jesus did not simply die for me, he died as me. This is the great mystery of salvation, that he who knew no sin was made to be sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. He took my death so I could live his life. This was an uneven exchange, and he did not have to do it, but he chose to walk a worthy walk and say, Father, I will lay down my will in obedience to your heart for my brothers and my sisters, and he is worthy of my praise for this that he did. Now, I've lost 6 pounds under these hot lights. I'm cooking right now. I feel like a rotisserie Negro. Just who wants dark meat? I'm cooking. I'm a kebab. Just slice meat off. Anyway, all right. Jesus. I'm trying to talk about Jesus. Stop making me laugh. Jesus walked a sinless life, and he did it because he knew I wouldn't be able to. Go to Revelation. Revelation chapter 5, verse 1. And I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll written inside and on the back, sealed with 7 seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the scroll or to loose its seals? And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look at it. So I wept much because no one was found worthy to open and read the scroll or to even look at it. But one of the elders said to me, do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose its 7 seals. And the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, is also Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus, the prophesied Christ. He is the seed of heaven and the baby of Mary. He is the firstborn of heaven. He is the first begotten of the dead. He is worthy of my praise. He is the spotless Lamb of God. He is the one that we sing about, that we shout about, that we praise about. He is the one that whom nations gather and bow down, and 10,000 upon 10,000 angels could not find enough words to lift him up, and we are the ones that he wants to hear from, because angels cannot sing a song of salvation, for angels cannot be saved. Only men can be saved. That's why my praise is better than the angels. Angels worship from a posture of fact. They see him. I worship from a posture of faith. I believe him. Someone say, a worthy walk. The scripture in Revelation says there was nobody worthy to open the scroll. The scroll is symbolic of the entirety of the word of God. We know that Jesus is the fulfillment of the law and the prophets. No one else could have been the acceptable sacrifice for the sins of all mankind. But Jesus lived a spotless life. And in this garden called Gethsemane was a moment of decision. And it's the only time Jesus didn't want an assignment. Now, to me, this is funny because that's why we worship him and not you or me. Because if it had been me in the garden, I would have been like, excuse me, Dad. Let me get this straight. You want me to let them arrest me. They're going to beat me all night. It's going to be a trial, but they're going to find a couple people to lie on me, and then you don't want me to say anything. Just let them lie. Then they're going to beat me some more, put a crown of thorns on my head, make me walk up the hill with my cross. They're not even going to rope a brother to the cross. They're going to nail a brother to the cross just up there. And then you want me to sit up there for 3 hours, suffocate, and then die for the sins of people that might not even choose you? Yes. What about Peter? I never liked Peter. What about Thomas? He always doubting. See, we think Jesus just breezed through life, like he just walked around. He didn't even just walk in the rooms. He just floated. In the movies in America, Jesus always had a British accent, which is amazing because he lived in Israel 2,000 years ago, but whatever. And he would always walk around and he'd have hair and he'd be like, greetings, welcome, let us go to Judea and let us go to Jerusalem. And shall we go to Capernaum? And shall we go? And what shall we do? And shall we? And then they were just doing the Lord of the Dance for no reason, just river dancing, I don't know. And so we have this picture of Jesus, like he's this perfect person. And all he does is just walk around eating grapes and turning water into wine. And he only hung out with brilliant, spiritual, elite people. No. He hung out with the disciples, AKA the 12 most regular dudes in the world. That should give you hope, because Jesus is not looking for the most brilliant theological minds. He's just looking for the most willing hearts. 5 second praise break. 5, 4, 3, 2, praise break. The disciples were not the brightest dudes in the world. It's hilarious to me that we got this wrong idea. That's why Jesus would meet with them in Gethsemane. The reason why at the end of his life they were in Gethsemane is because during his earthly ministry, this is where he hung out with the disciples after he had taught the masses. And the reason why is because he had to explain to the disciples what he had just taught, because they didn't have a clue. The disciples would just sit there, stand behind Jesus like they knew what was going on. That's right. Parable of the sower. Parable of the lost sheep. Tell him, Jesus, that's what I'm talking about. You better preach. I don't know what he's saying. These were not the brightest dudes in Israel. Listen, there were times when Jesus would give them an answer in the middle of his question and they still couldn't get it. Matthew 16, they're walking down the street. Jesus says, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Some say Elijah. Some say one of the prophets. Some say John the Baptist. I don't know, man. I just saw you turn water to wine. I was like, turn up. I was like, I don't know. Whip. I don't know. These were not the brightest dudes in the world. But they were willing to get up early and stay up late. And they knew how to fight for souls. And they had humility enough to believe the best about other people. They had gone through a process. They didn't judge who should and shouldn't get into the kingdom based on current situation. The problem with many in the church is we suffer from amnesia. We forget where we were when the blood found us. So here, Jesus is with his disciples. And I love something Pastor Joseph Prince said when he was talking about Jesus on the Mountain of Transfiguration and why Jesus had Peter, James, and John. And the principle there still applies here. I believe that when you are in vulnerable moments in your life, you need to identify your Peter, James, and John. You need to identify the people that you can trust with your vulnerable places. No one is called to do this Christian life alone. There are no successful Christian islands. The enemy will pick off an isolated sheep first. So find people that you can trust. And more than that, find people who will cause you to remember who you are and what your ultimate calling is. When you're struggling, you don't need people like, ooh, that's a mess, I'm so sorry. Call me when it's finished. You need some people that'll be like, you're going through what? That's fine. I'm going to stop everything. We coming over there. We going to pray. We going to fight. We going to sing. We going to put on some songs. Whatever we have to do. If you cry, I cry. If you're hurt, I hurt. If you're in pain, I'm in pain. If you fall, I'm going to cover you. And I won't tell people what you're going through. I won't spread your business. I won't tweet your business. I won't Facebook your business. I will cover you in your pain. I will not let you go through this alone. We are the body of Christ. Praise break! Come on, 10 seconds. If you can, stand up, do it. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Praise break! See, the devil thinks he can take you out when you're by yourself. But his eyes get bigger when he sees that you have a large African-American brother from the United States standing behind you like, what? And then here comes Pastor Gary on the other side like, word? Because two is better than one, and the threefold cord is not easily broken. He is one, we are many, and greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. And so when we struggle, Jesus gives us an illustration not to struggle alone. And notice that he was with Peter, James, and John. Peter, meaning stone or law. James, replacement, supplanter, from the Hebrew, Jacob. And then John, my name, gift of God or grace of God. Jesus was surrounded by the very people who would cause him to remember that his ultimate mission in life was to declare that the law has been replaced by grace. Like I said, that was a Joseph Prince oil original, but I had to borrow it because it still fits the frame. And you need to find some people that will remind you of who God has called you to be. So make sure that you can be vulnerable, but be vulnerable around people who will tell you, you're going to make it through this. You've got enough anointing for this. You've got enough power for this. You've got enough authority for this. We've been around enough negative people. Even in our own family, some of them don't see what we carry. But don't worry. Even David, his own family didn't see what he carried, but he kept walking. When the prophet came to anoint a king, David was outside in the field. He wasn't even invited in as a potential possibility. Samuel, when he first saw the oldest boy, said, that's the one. God said, nope, you're looking at the outside. I look at the heart. Seven sons. Complete no. Seven no's in a row. Seven is completion. Complete no. But there was number eight in the field. Eight is a new beginning. Jesus will unlock the new beginning. Hey! And they said, go get him. And Jesse had to call outside. David! Yes, sir? Come in the house. Okay. Hold on, I gotta finish because I'm writing a song. Because I've been out in this field and I've been writing songs and I've been singing them to God. It's only been me by myself. I'm almost finished. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the of the Lord forever. Amen. And then he walked the last walk of anonymity. He walked the last time he'd ever be a shepherd. He just walked from the field. Didn't know that last song he wrote was the last song he'd write before he was coronated king. Some of you have been walking and it looks like pain, but you're about to walk into a season of authority. You're about to walk into a season of power. You're about to walk into a season of prestige. You're gonna go from anonymous to necessary overnight. You're gonna go from what's your name again to welcome, we've been waiting on you. God's gonna take you from the back of the from the back of the theater to the front of the line, because God has invested in you and you have walked worthy. You have served admirably and you have done what God asked you to do, and you weren't more hungry for the platform than you were for his presence. Jesus took that walk. And as they play soft spiritual music, Jesus didn't want the assignment, y'all. Father, I don't want this. Let this cup pass. Why did Jesus not want this assignment? Was it the pain of the cross? Was it the pain of the beating? Was it the shame? No. Jesus didn't want this assignment because this was going to be the only time he would have ever been cut off from the presence of his Father. He said, Father, I can do everything else you've asked me to do, but don't ask me to do it without you. But if this is what it takes to free the souls of all men, then I'll do it. And so he who knew no sin became sin. And he who had enjoyed full fellowship with the Father was cut off, because the Bible says God is too holy but to look on sin. So Jesus willingly went to the cross, a worthy sacrifice. And he cries out on the cross, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, my God, why have you forsaken me? And I can imagine the heart of the Father saying, it's either you for 3 days or all mankind for eternity, and I choose them. What father would trade his star player for a bunch of scrubs? What king would take the spotless prince and take the worst off the street and them trade places? People say, I don't know if I have enough faith to believe in Jesus. Don't worry, your faith is secondary. God's faith was primary. He had faith to let his son die before you even knew you needed a son, before you knew you needed a savior. Who allows his son to die for it just in case? Just in case they want to get to know me, Jesus has to die. Just in case someone at the Dominion Theater wants to choose me in 2015, I got to let my son die 2,000 years earlier. Just in case somebody wants to come into relationship with me. Jesus took a walk that made him worthy to be the sacrifice. The life I've lived without Jesus was an unworthy life. But because of the blood of Jesus, I've been made right with the Father. And I'm worthy of the blessing and benefit of that relationship. What is the acceptable response to the worthy walk of Jesus? For us to give our lives in service to others, to fight for our families and our friends and our loved ones, and to declare with the life we live, worthy is the Lamb that was slain. That we don't allow the blood of Jesus to become common, but that we serve each other in a holy reverence, remembering where we would have been without the sacrifice of Jesus. It just looked like he was taking steps. It was just a walk, but the walk sealed our destiny. That walk gave us a future and a hope. That walk broke the back of religion. That walk sealed the end of the law and ushered in the age of grace. That walk where he laid down his will, and now we get to pick up the will of the Father. And so here in this moment, maybe there's someone who had believed the lie that you weren't worthy, that you somehow don't deserve the grace of God. That is a lie. For Jesus didn't just pay for your sins, he overpaid. He paid for your sin and left a tip called grace, a tip called favor, a tip called mercy, a tip called healing, So there's enough blood for that. I don't know what you did, but there's enough blood for that. I don't know what you're walking through, but the blood was shed for that too, and that, and that, and that. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, let me pray for you. Lord Jesus, Gethsemane was no small thing. You walked in that garden. You healed us. You saved us. And it was the assignment that you didn't want, but you took it anyway. You laid down your life and your will so that I have a right and an opportunity to come into relationship with my Heavenly Father, and I thank you for that. And perhaps there are some who are here who need to make that same decision. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here and you have never given your life to Jesus, I want you to know that you have been made worthy. For when Jesus died, the veil of the curtain was ripped from top to bottom, signifying that heaven was reinitiating intimate relationship between God and man. It was nothing you or I did. Jesus finished it on the cross, but we get the benefit of it. So if you're in here, on the count of three, I want you to lift your hand. One, I'm in need of a Savior. My life is a mess without Him. Two, I believe the lie that I wasn't worthy to receive anything good, but now I realize that Jesus took my death so I could live His life. Three, I'm ready to make that commitment today. If that's you, put your hand up right now. One, two, three, put your hand up. I see hands all over this place. Keep your hands up just for a moment. If you're here and you need to rededicate your life, maybe you went to another church, but somehow maybe you've made some bad decisions and you just want a fresh start. If that's you and you want to recommit and rededicate your life to Jesus, on the count of three, lift your hands. One, two, three. I see those hands. I see hands in the balcony as well, I believe. Yes, yes, yes. Let me put your hands down for a moment. If everyone will pray this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I confess with my mouth.
I confess with my mouth.
Believe in my heart.
Believe in my heart.
That Jesus is Lord.
Jesus is Lord.
I thank you.
I thank you.
That the blood of Jesus.
The blood of Jesus.
Has made me worthy.
Has made me worthy.
This day.
This day.
I thank you.
I thank you.
That new life can begin.
That new life can begin.
And in honor.
And in honor.
Of the gift of salvation.
Of the gift of salvation.
I give my life.
I give my life.
My gifts.
My gifts.
My talents.
My talents.
My resources.
My resources.
In service to you.
To you.
In your name, Jesus.
In your name, Jesus.
I pray.
I pray.
Amen.
Amen.
It gives me great pleasure as a minister of the gospel to declare that if you prayed that for the first time, you are saved. And as I turn it back over to my brother, can we sing this song, this chorus real quick? Like God is worthy, right here. Oh, praise the name of the Lord.